make a green bean casserole, by the way? Like, I just don't understand.
That's something I never wanted to know. I'm not interested in
finding out. I feel like
my
thing is, I thought Thanksgiving was a special occasion. Why are we eating green beans?
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitar, getting in the middle of a conversation about two Americas around Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that and some football. Let's go.
Did the NFL make a mockery of itself by forcing the Broncos to play yesterday?
All right, you have heard all of your life that sports is a business. Someone will tell you sports is a business, but never before in our lifetime has the greed of that business been laid as naked bare as what you're seeing presently in sports. It's not just the disaster that college football is. It's not just that college basketball is going in the single saddest sounding thing I've ever heard into the Mohegan Sun in order to get its season off of the ground. It's that football gives you this, compromising the structural integrity of its league. The Dolphins would have liked to have played this Denver team last week when they had Denver, but instead they get this apocalypse. That was not professional football yesterday. That was shameless greed dressed in professional uniforms. We endured the Denver quarterbacks throwing two interceptions and one completion. That was not a good thing for the sport. That's just a blatant money grab. It's rarely that obvious.
I mean, the quarterback on the other side, who we've been told is a backup quarterback and maybe a franchise quarterback, wasn't much better. But to be fair, it would be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. And it would be sad if it wasn't so hilarious. I absolutely tuned into this game because I wanted to see how crazy it was going to be. It was crazy for the first few minutes, and then I got bored and sad and had to change the channel. It was an embarrassment, but I guess if nothing else, it brings a new respect, because I know a lot of people say they respect how good athletes are and how great, how difficult it is to do these jobs. But if professional athletes can't play other professional athletes' positions, y'all can't either. So shut up, all of you.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty harsh. Now, one thing about football to know, this is a real you hit it where it lies kind of sport, right? Like, this has always been the case. This is kind of a situation where you wind up with the whole depth chart being injured. It just so happens that the injury in this case is this virus that changes the way that we ultimately wind up doing everything. Now, while I do think that this was a money grab, because all of it is just getting as many of these games on television as possible, because that's where people eat. The players don't eat if the games don't get played. There's also that element of it when we talk about this. But the NFL was sending a point, and their thing was, oh, so you guys were in the meetings without masks on. That's what the story is. And once they decided and they got a whiff of something to indicate that the Broncos had not done what they were supposed to do, that allowed the owners to say, this is on you. That allowed the league to say, no, guys, you did this to yourselves, and now you're going to have to pay for it. Now, what the Broncos wanted was for the game to be rescheduled, like the one that happened with the Steelers and the Ravens. Yeah, because the league is not going to let that game be an embarrassment if they can help it. That one is worth too much money. That's the best rivalry of the 21st century in the NFL. So they wound up pushing that one back. Definitely not playing it on Thanksgiving in front of all of America. Hell no. That would look ridiculous. This other game was the game playing opposite Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. They're like, yeah, some people will tune in and watch that as a novelty. I sure as hell did. But yeah. They're getting these games on TV because that's where everybody needs this money. But I don't think it's just the owners. The players need the money, too. They weren't talking about canceling the game. They just wanted to play it a little later.
Yeah, the whole time I was thinking, like, leading up to this game, like, this could be cool. Like, this guy whose first NFL snaps is going to be in a position that's very difficult and not his own. He does have some experience in his position. This could be awesome. This could be like some made-for-TV movie. This guy comes out here and ends up being an NFL quarterback. We were this close, like, in a timeline, but this close in a talent gap. It was amazing that I even considered that for the moment that I did.
Let me tell you why I didn't think too seriously about it. You remember when Christian Ponder was the quarterback of the Vikings and he was terrible and Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards and they had a playoff game and Christian Ponder couldn't play and it was Joe Webb's time to shine. And I'm like, you go, Joe Webb. Christian Ponder's so terrible. How much worse could it get? So much worse. It was so much worse. But the counterpoint for the Broncos, they got a track record. They have won a division and a wild card round playoff game and a Super Bowl with two different quarterbacks who at that time weren't even really quarterbacks.
Do you believe in the Bucks more or less after their performance yesterday?
All right, so we got to start talking about the first quarter of Chiefs Buccaneers, which put us on the rare Flipper Anderson watch because Tyreek Hill had 200-something yards receiving. The particulars don't even really matter that much. Kansas City was up 17-0, marching down the field again, and looked like they was about to put that beat 'em down on Tampa. But they fumbled on that play, right? And then next thing you know, we get to the end of the game, and the Bucs are almost back in it, but they did not win. Tom Brady, though, here's what worries me about him. He plays really well against the teams that aren't good. It seems like when you have the games against the good teams or at the very least good defenses, right? Two times against the Saints, against the Bears, this game that we just saw, and that's not even a great defense. Then we don't see the Tom Brady that the Buccaneers expected that they would wind up getting. So do I feel better about the Bucs after this game? No, because at no point when they were making that comeback did I think to myself that they were ever going to win that game. They did a good job in narrowing the margin. It made it look better, but they got trounced. No way to look at that otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're right about Tom Brady against those tough defenses. And the thing about the Chiefs defense is they get a lot better. They're kind of built to play with that lead. When that team gets an early lead like that, that defense gets a lot better. They're about defensive backs and about pass rush, less so about the two-way go that you get when the other team is in the game. So it helps that Tyreek went off in that first quarter. And that's really all I care about. I don't believe in the Bucs. They're too inconsistent. All I care about is Tyreek Hill at any moment in the game can go to the crib. And as a cornerback, it is terrifying. It gives me nightmares. And I would file a lawsuit against any coach who sent me out there in man coverage for more than three or four snaps in a game with Tyreek Hill. I need a safety. You know it. I know it. Everybody in the league knows that whoever's covering Tyreek Hill needs a safety. The man can run past anybody, and he's quick. That's the thing that you don't understand about Tyreek Hill is he changes directions like he runs a 4.6. However, he runs a 4.1 maybe. Who knows? And he plays the ball in the air as well as anybody. That dude is a real problem, and we don't appreciate how good he is because we look at how impressive this offense is. He's special.
He and A.J. Brown seem to be made of the same materials that bowling balls are made out of. And if you don't understand the numbers we're talking about here, Tyreek Hill was on pace in that first quarter for a 1,000-yard game, for a 1,000-yard game receiving. So we can talk about Tom Brady's failures, but the Chiefs are overwhelming, and we shouldn't lose sight of how overwhelming they are. This is what I will say about Brady. I have been saying for a long time at the quarterback position, when they're wearing the same uniforms, they look like they've got the same body, the same name is on the back of the uniform, that you can't really tell how a quarterback ages except on the deep ball. That is a place where we can say that, except I've been saying it for Brady about 7 years, guys. This is the first year where I'm actually seeing the aging process on deep balls because I thought it was going to come each of the last 7 years, and it didn't. And now the margin for error is where it was when he didn't have any skill guys and he lost at home to Tennessee in the playoffs because you can see him throwing one of those stinkers out there in a game that matters to end his season.
Yeah, you know why you didn't see it the last 7 years? Because they stopped asking him to throw it for whatever reason. Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich are like, nah, dog, you going to run the offense that we want you to run. Like, I'm not a genius on these things, right? I don't have an explanation for why it is that they don't do more motion to make the things easier for Tom Brady. At the same time, I ain't making all the excuses for him that Tony Romo and them boys were doing in the booth because I thought Tom Brady was so good that he would be able to figure this stuff out, right? Like, maybe what Bruce Arians is going to have to do with him is stop treating him like he's Tom Brady and start treating him what he is at this point in his career, a good quarterback. And that's fine because I think a good quarterback might be good enough for them. But he ain't the Tom Brady that you're thinking of, at least not in the way they're running that offense.
Yeah, the best way they can run this offense or run this team is ask Tom Brady to be great few and far between occasions. You don't want to ask him to be great throughout the course of the game. Don't want to put too much pressure on him at any one moment. Not that he can't do it, but he's more likely to do it once or twice a game than do it six or seven times a game. And they're asking him to do it six or seven times a game.
Hey, Dominic, let me ask you this too, since you are the DB man. Carlton Davis, I'm not that familiar with his work. Is he good enough for you to be like, yo, I think that's the guy that can check Tyreek Hill one-on-one? Like, I felt like that was a bold move for Ty Bowles, given that I personally am not familiar with Carlton Davis. I feel like if you're doing that with somebody, I need to know who he was.
He almost had a 1,000-yard receiving day.
I mean, you could have a few bad plays. You could have a bad day. Even the greatest corners of all times have bad days. So I'm not going to say that that day alone meant that he's not a great corner. I think he's very good. However,
okay, I honestly, was legitimately asking.
Yeah. No, I honestly don't believe that you should do that to any cornerback in the league. I don't think that you should leave any cornerback in the league and just man-to-man coverage throughout the course of an entire game. They changed their tune. They stopped doing it, and they got back in the game. I don't think that the way the rules are set up and the way that quarterback plays, it's impossible. Like, no one can stay close to him. You can stay close to him for three plays in a row. The one time that he's going to get away from you, Patrick Mahomes is going to find him and throw a perfect pass. And the problem is it's going to be a 75-yard touchdown. So it's not on Carlton Davis. It, in my opinion, is literally impossible for anybody to lock him up for an entire game. You just don't have the physical skills to do so. He's the best receiver in the league in press coverage. That's what you would normally do with a speed guy, a smaller guy, get up there and jam him. You can't, because he's quicker than you too. Like, they put him out there on a fool's errand.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I didn't realize that I was gone for a week and all of a sudden y'all was out here entertaining the poppycock about how real the Raiders are. I didn't know y'all were doing that. Wow. See, this is what happens when I leave. I probably shouldn't do that again.
No, now, wait.
Wait,
if I may, though, because you never do this.
Did the Raiders get exposed?
Are you kidding me with this? We are a week removed from the all of us seeing together, wow, that team can play with the Chiefs. They seem to be the only one that could go punch for punch with the Chiefs. And now we're here where this league burps out weird results all the time. And the Atlanta defense that has been questionable all year, all they did was interceptions and mistakes and turnovers all over the place. And they roughed the kicker at one point. This was a total apocalypse for the Raiders. Everything went wrong for them in that game. They've sitting there trying to get back in the game and they throw a pick six the other way. Just one of those weird games you could throw off to the side. But we've been asking, honest to God, for 10 damn years around here, are the Raiders for real? The answer changes every week. It's like, is Kirk Cousins good? We can ask that question all the time. The answer changes all the time.
Yeah, I got to say that that last question, the Kirk Cousins question, I think we know the answer on that one. However, are the Raiders for real is a question that we're going to continue to ask because the inconsistency at the quarterback position is the problem. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. But what I come out of this game thinking is Raheem Morris going to hold on to that Atlanta job? Maybe no one else cares, but I find it interesting that they've lost two games, and one of the games they lost was because Todd Gurley couldn't not score a touchdown. Like, if you are asking for an audition, you drop somebody into a terrible situation, he somehow wins a bunch of games and puts up a pretty impressive performance like that against a team like the Raiders, who we all thought was for real last week. I think they have to seriously consider whether they're going to keep him or not, despite the fact that Arthur Blank down there said he had to go undefeated to even get a consideration.
So inconsistent quarterback plus bad defense means not for real. Like, I didn't realize that I was gone for a week and all of a sudden y'all was out here entertaining the poppycock about how real the Raiders are. I didn't know y'all were doing that. Wow. See, this is what happens when I leave. I probably shouldn't do that again.
No,
now,
wait.
Wait,
if I may, though, because you never do this. This was a few weeks ago. I don't know what Ruggs did. You said on here, man, the Raiders seem to have gotten it right, and I was wrong about that. I was stunned to hear you say that about the Raiders a few weeks ago. Stunned.
I was not wild about this idea of John Gruden going to the Raiders. I did not think that we should assume that a dude that hadn't won a playoff game since January of 2003 was really going to be the one to fix the situation. But if nothing else, the Raiders look exceedingly competent. Me too, right? I'm stunned to learn that I ever did such a thing. I thought I was a little brighter than that. Sorry. Let me get over here to this Raheem Morris question, because I do have something to say about this. Arthur Blank better be careful, because if they do start winning a bunch of games and you, Arthur Blank, in that city, do not give a real look to that black man for your job, a whole lot of goodwill that you have built up over the better part of the last 20 years is going to wind up going out the window. The dude has experience as a head coach. He went out and made himself a wide receivers coach. Remember, he was a defensive guy before this. He made himself an offensive assistant to make himself more attractive for a head coaching job, then took defensive coordinator over when things went wonky last year for Dan Quinn, and now is the interim coach and seems to have this thing together. If he doesn't want to go in that direction, that's fine, but you damn well better get it right if you don't hire him, especially in these times. And look, Blank has been on the side of right in a lot of things as it relates to race and football and that city. But this is a real show improve mode for him if Raheem Morris keeps on winning.
Right, but you said he had better give him a real look. There's no way to measure that. Like, if Raheem Morris keeps winning, You have to give him the job because no matter what, you come out of that situation, people are going to be like, why didn't you hire Raheem Morris? Whether it's the right thing or wrong thing to do, a real look don't mean nothing. That's not going to appease anybody. Yeah. And that's not necessarily Arthur Blank's fault. That's the history of this league. It's coming to bear its weight on Arthur Blank in this situation. It's not all on him, but that's what's going to happen. If Raheem Morris keeps winning and then they choose not to hire him, it's going to be painted as Arthur Blank making a socially unconscious decision.
Do you question if this will go down as the defining moment of Nate Robinson's athletic career?
Oh, come on, man. That's a slam dunk champion. You guys, prisoners of the moment. Let's go. This is a guy who is great at basketball for his size, certainly grading on a curve, and he gets knocked out by a YouTuber in a way that I said U-turder, but it kind of felt like that all weekend for Nate Robinson. Here you go. This is Jake Paul. This isn't even the worst of the knock. That's not even the worst of the. So he became a bit of a punchline there in Knicks colors. I'm sure you guys have something to say about this one. Snoop Dogg was great on the commentary.
So first thing is, I did not realize that Jake Paul had been training at boxing. And if I had known that he had been doing that for a couple of years, I would have warned Nate Robinson that this is probably not the thing that you want to do. Like, it was basically like the episode of Martin. Nate walking down, talking about punch jump up to get beat down, and then he wound up being the punk in question in this whole situation. But it is not the defining moment of his athletic career.
The social media drives this in our memories in a way that is not fair. Like, his three dunk contest wins, him being a college football player, like, all the amazing athletic feats that he had are not quite as memeable as him getting slept on pay-per-view. That will be the defining moment of Nate Robinson. From this point forward, when Nate Robinson shows up anywhere, people are going to remember that more than him doing his kryptonite dunk. I promise you, I hate it too, but I promise you that's what we're going to remember.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, you better remember it to yourselves, right? Like, he might think twice about fighting Jake Paul again, but he will not think twice about fighting you.
I learned my lesson my senior year in high school. So I did half a year in high school, and then the second half I started in college. I got to college, and there's a bunch of men there, 20, 21-year-old men, working out for the past several years, and we had, like, locker room boxing. You had to call somebody out. So, of course, the ego monster that I am, I'm like, all right, I'm going to call somebody out. I called out another one of the corners who happened to be 20 years old. I'm 17 at the time. He'd been in the weight program for a while. Caught me one good time. I was dazed. Luckily, he had a good soul. He knew he landed it. He didn't follow up because I didn't go down. I was just dazed. He could have finished me. I ain't never talked like that to nobody else again. From that point forth, I ain't want to fight nobody unless I really wanted to fight him. I wasn't just there fighting just to fight. The only other fights I was in, I was angry. That was a ridiculous thing. I was like, I'm just going to call him out because I'm coming. I'm going to take over the corner backs. I'm going to do pop.
Oops. That is excellent. That's an excellent impersonation of a woozy DB.
Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday night, football, Ravens and Steelers.
Maybe, probably, because we really want the money. It's important to get these games in, and so we're going to keep doing this again and again, even though it doesn't seem like neither team is particularly healthy. Never mind about all that. Let's check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the game they were supposed to be playing on Thanksgiving. What are they doing with food?
My top three favorite foods at Thanksgiving.
My top three
favorite dish on Thanksgiving are cornbread,
green bean casserole,
mac and cheese, candy yam.
Number one, definitely stuffing,
mashed potatoes,
macaroni and cheese,
sweet potato casserole,
mashed potatoes, gravy. I go on for days.
My grandmother made meatballs. She used to make these meatballs that were really good. Had like a crazy sauce to them.
And I always have to have the drumstick from the turkey.
And turkey.
Everybody's favorite, the turkey.
Fried turkey.
Of course, turkey. And carrot cake. One of my aunts used to make really good carrot cake.
Pumpkin pie.
And then I like pumpkin pie for dessert. It's lit.
I like taking the cranberry sauce and the mashed potatoes, mixing them together, and then taking the turkey and dipping it in there and eating it like that. So it's like a nice little combination.
Yes. My man, no, don't look at him that way. No, a turkey sandwich with the turkey as the bread in the sandwich. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, the green bean casserole was the least surprising thing that TJ Watt could come on the top. The lone person be like, I like green bean casserole. Why would you casserole green beans? It is disgusting.
Bo, how about you? You intrigued?
That whole thing was two Americas. You hit on the same thing that I did, man. Like, I don't even know white folks understand this. We don't casserole green beans. Y'all do. When you go have Thanksgiving dinner with your white friends or whatever it is, that's where the green bean casserole comes out. You see them struggling mashed potatoes? Did you see that one dude, the black dude who said macaroni and cheese, and then they put that stuff from the box up there? Oh. Like no, the macaroni and cheese that dude is talking about is not that same macaroni and cheese that you got right there. Nope. Everything right there told you about the football team being the melting pot of the world. TJ Watt one day is going to go to Juju Smith-Schuster's house for Thanksgiving, and it's going to be like a whole new world got unlocked. Like, why is my tongue doing that while I eat? It's called seasoning.
If you want more of these two gentlemen, and why would you not? Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Get it wherever it is you get your podcasts and on your device. No device. Dominique doesn't have. He's got two fingers for you and the undefeated.